SBS Radio.
The report into the financial position of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people has found one in two Indigenous people experience financial stress. First Nations Foundation CEO Amanda Young says the report has identified a number of problems in financial literacy for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Only one in 10 Indigenous people are financially secure, which is not a great report card. But a figure that I'm really focused on at the moment is that 75% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people say they struggle with financial services. So for us, it's saying that there's a problem, but it's one that we know that we can fix.
Another key finding of the report is that 75% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are sharing their money with family and friends. Centre for Social Impact CEO Professor Christy Muir says Indigenous people think differently about finances than many non-Aboriginal people.
The way they think about wealth is all about not just the individual, but also the family and the community. And Indigenous Australians were more likely to tell us that they were either lending money to family members or thought they could ask family members to borrow money. And that was part of Indigenous culture.
Indigenous Consumer Assistant Network Senior Financial Advisor John O'Malley says lending money to family can be a problem, but it's also part of cultural responsibility.
Where it was like a barter, you know, I'll give you money this week, you give me money next week, what's occurring is that imbalance. So it seems to be there's one person giving the money all the time and not receiving any money back. Where before white fellas came onto First Nations land, is that barter system worked quite well.
Ms. Young says there's a range of reasons Indigenous people experience financial instability, including poor government policy and a lack of financial literacy.
It's only been the last few generations of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people since the 1970s who've been allowed to legally own anything and receive their wages in hand. That means we're really dealing with the genesis generation of people dealing with money.
Ms. Muir agrees, saying there's a range of issues that prevent Indigenous people from visiting a financial service, and it's not always because many live in remote locations.
The reasons for that include things like people not knowing enough about what services are available, feelings of shame or feeling too pride to seek out those services, the services being too expensive or the wait lists too long, or a sense that they couldn't actually trust them.
Mr. O'Malley says high costs of living in remote communities also contribute to the financial burden of Indigenous people.
You have high cost of living. An example is, you know, recently on Palm Island, we got the price of one loaf of bread, which was $6.80, compared to a person, say, living in Cairns, who could probably get a loaf of bread between $1 and $1.50. So these are the real, those influences impact a person's control on the way that they conduct their budget.
But it's not just financial literacy in Indigenous communities that has to improve. Ms. Young says financial institutions must make an effort to better understand the needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people don't have financial literacy and understand how the economy works and how financial services work. But at the same time, financial services are a complete blank when it comes to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and what their needs are.
Education, including culturally appropriate information, is important for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Mr. O'Malley says that now the statistics are available, it's time to do something about them.
Where we're at now is about action. We need action. You have the results. We need a plan put in place to alleviate these alarming stats that have been presented recently in this report.
The report authors agree, saying they hope their recommendations are taken seriously by the government as well as financial institutions.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.